Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
Hey, what are you up to?
Oh, hi. I'm listening to this awesome podcast.
Ooh, I love finding awesome new podcasts. What is it about?
Well, it's about a bunch of things. Sometimes history, sometimes hauntings, sometimes it's spooky, and sometimes it's funny, but it's always interesting.
Ooh, okay, that sounds great. What's special about it?
Well, each week, Celine picks a topic and reads it, and Matt creates a pairing of a treat and a drink to go with this peculiar tale.
And they talk
about it, and they joke about it.
Hold on.
And sometimes they have guests and have even more fun.
Wait a second.
What?
That's our podcast.
Yeah, you're right.
Why are you listening to our podcast?
Well, you know, we're heading into the long dark of winter, and that can make some people feel kind of isolated, and listening to Peculiar Pairings is a great way to feel like you're hanging out with good friends at the push of a button.
Well, that actually sounds really nice. Kind of sounds like everyone should be listening to Peculiar Pairings.
You know, I couldn't agree more.
So if this sounds like it's piqued your interest, you should search Peculiar Pairings podcast on your favorite podcasting platform today.
Yeah, we're everywhere. Come check it out.
Find us. We're there.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Avery.
We're the hosts and creators of Thick Thighs and Creepy Vibes.
Join us as we take a deep dive into the macabre and the unexplained.
Listen every Wednesday as we take you on a chilling journey that transports you to all corners of the Great White North.
Let's boot those Sunday scaries while we take a rip into the harrowing tales of the haunted and the supernatural phenomena that defy explanation.
So grab your ketchup chips.
And your Caesars. And make sure to
creep it real.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, always good to hang out with you and our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, what story do you have for us today?
I am going to be talking about Johnny Lewis.
I don't think I know that name.
I don't think you would. He's a very, I wouldn't say very famous. He's a famous actor.
Oh.
On a show that I don't think you watched, and I know I haven't watched, but what story do you have for us today, Mom?
Well, I have a story about things making a mess. And things that make a mess that we really hope won't be messy ever.
Gremlins?
No. That's a good guess, though. Yes, I'm being vague about the full topic until I get into the story. Just know that it's gory and it's gross. And if that's too much for you, then feel free to skip it.
You're being bizarre, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's bizarre, but it's gory.
Gruesome is... Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But Declan, you have to listen. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, when we get into it, you might be like, ah! So, to go with my story, I have the Explosion Cocktail. It is made of 1 ounce of tequila, half an ounce of Cointreau, half an ounce of lime juice, quarter of an ounce of orange juice, quarter of an ounce of honey syrup, a dash of liquid smoke, a pinch of salt, and club soda to top it off.
Salt.
And
before we try this, can yes. I take a guess at your story?
Sure.
Is this about the remains that were hit with? So a family dedicated their grandmother's remains for science or medical use or whatever, and it turns out she was used to test missiles. They
no.
hit their grandmother with a missile. Okay.
No, but I like that story. No. No, it's not, but I like that story.
Okay.
We'll have to look into that.
So
the steps for this story are to add the liquids to a cocktail shaker with ice and a pinch of salt. Shake well until chilled. Strain into a highball glass filled with ice cubes. Gently top with club soda and garnish with a lime wheel. Just before serving, wave a lit cinnamon stick over the drink briefly, then drop the stick into the drink. And I realized...
I did not do that.
Once we started recording that I forgot to do that too. And I even took out a stupid cinnamon stick and set it next to my drink making stuff, and I still forgot to do it.
I don't want ash in my drink, first of all.
Good point.
I don't want to set off the smoke alarms in my apartment. So I did
also
not do that.
Also a good point.
I also kind of fucked up. I didn't put it in a tall glass.
In highball.
So yeah. I just put like a splash of sparkling water.
So did I, because I looked at how much liquid was in the shaker and I was like, that's not enough for a highball. So I did a short and just a sprinkle of soda water.
So try.
I think it's going to be bad. Yeah, I was right. It's bad.
I think smoke. I would not like it if I did the fucking the ashes in there.
The cinnamon stick.
Ugh. I think it's pretty good. The little bit of salt kind of gives it a kick. I kind of like it.
I don't like it. I don't like smoke stuff, though.
It's hard to go wrong with tequila, lime, and salt, though. I mean.
Disagree.
No, it's the best combination on planet Earth when it comes to drinking. Tequila, lime, and
no.
salt.
No. Mm. Disagree. Disagree. Okay. So, in our brutal stories, and even some of our bizarre stories, we have covered a lot of deaths over the years. But we haven't really talked about death itself. So, the specific details of dying and what happens afterwards.
We did talk about near-death experience.
Yes.
That was one of your stories. That was very interesting and really kind of scared me, but... I don't remember what episode it is, but just look up near-death experience and you'll find it.
I don't either. So we're talking about death in and of itself. When living things are alive, there are metabolic processes going on, you know, breathing, digestion, blood flow, etc., all that good stuff. Basically, the things that happen all day, every day that keep us alive. Those things are happening. When the living thing dies, those processes stop and new ones take over. Those new processes involve decomposition. If you want to be a bit morbid about it, many of the decomposition processes occur when we are alive as well, but the living processes are greater than the dying ones, so living wins. And I know you're making faces and you're Wait, just be prepared to keep that face on the whole time because it's going to get gross.
Okay.
When death occurs, the living processes stop, so dying and decomposing wins. Soon after death, muscles begin to relax and blood that is no longer pumping through the body starts to pool and is pulled down by gravity. For a brief period of time, the body stiffens, called rigor mortis, and then it relaxes again.
So if those you are die big, laying noticeable down, things. The blood pools yes. in your ass cheeks and you get the BBL?
Yeah. Yes, without the surgery.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Those things that I mentioned, those are big noticeable things. But the real work that's happening is on a microscopic level, the decomposition. As the body starts to compose, a term called autolysis is, which it's basically when the enzymes in the body start to break down all of the cells. This cellular destruction has a side effect, which is the formation of gas, which can cause bloating. Over the centuries, society has invented ways to try and slow the process of decomposition. Sometimes it is for religious reasons, sometimes it's for aesthetic ones, and sometimes it's just personal preference. Basically, things like embalming, deep freezing, you know, like cryogenics kind of thing, burial. Those are all methods that we use to try and slow or stop decomposition. However, as what usually happens in this world, nature often wins regardless of the efforts that us humans make. So, what happens when nature wins? Sometimes gory, gross things. Okay. I feel like I've been somewhat vague about the full topic of my story, so we're just going to get into it. This is a syndrome.
Okay, this is.
Yep. It's a syndrome that some people might not have heard about before. I had not heard about it until recently, which I'm super thankful for, especially considering that I've been to a few funerals in my days, honestly. I think I'm being a bit cagey about it because it grosses me out, but I still couldn't resist doing the topic. So here it is. Exploding casket syndrome.
Oh.
Yeah. I didn't know it was a thing.
I don't even want to know.
It's a thing. So.
Okay. Just keep going.
As the body decomposes and gases build up from that decomposition, the body expands. We talk about bloating. The body needs some level of oxygen surrounding it to help the body dehydrate and dissipate some of those gases. So you want a little bit of flow of air. If the oxygen is fully removed, like if a coffin has a rubber seal to prevent air from getting in and other stuff, or if the body is put in a mausoleum, which is when the body is interred up above ground, and if there's a really good seal on that mausoleum, no air can get in, and dehydration doesn't occur properly.
Okay, I just want to say, no matter what you're about to say, I think having a seal would be good, because it'd be horrific to see just like a trail of ants coming out of a mausoleum or something like that. I hate ants.
Yes.
That's, I wish same. Ants never existed. But
same.
Ugh, I can imagine seeing them just into like a casket.
Just wait. Okay, I would rather see, you know what? How much I hate ants. You know that.
I think I hate them more than, do you remember the story of why I hate ants?
I don't know.
So it was when we lived in California, and I went to the to Christian school. We were doing balloon toss, where you throw a balloon, and for each time you throw it, you take a step back, and whoever breaks the balloon loses. Mm-hmm. But I accidentally stepped onto an ant hill, and they just swarmed up my legs. And ever since then, I can't fucking stand ants.
Yes.
Oh, you drive me nuts.
I had a similar experience at about the same age when I was 5 or 6. My brother and his friend pushed me down onto the neighbors in their yard and didn't know that basically the whole part of that yard was a giant anthill. And I was covered in them head to toe. And I was scratching my head and my mom was like, "Why are you scratching?" And she looked at it and she was like, "Get in the bathtub. You're covered in ants." That's why I don't like
ants. Was that at the same house?
Yeah.
Didi still lives at?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Which one? The across the street or?
The one right next door on the corner. So there used to be a big slope up to their driveway.
The weird people one?
Oh, the whole neighborhood's weird. You know.
Well, yeah, but there's one house in particular right next to them that's extra weird.
Like if you're facing their driveway, facing their house, it's the one directly on the left. Theirs is the second house in. Okay. It's the first house. And the side of their yard was a sloped hill covered in grass, but also covered in ants. And they got all over me. So
welcome to Trauma Hour on the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy podcast.
Exactly. Family trauma associated with being covered in ants.
Go ahead and drop your ant trauma in the comments below.
Or other bug trauma. We'll take that. I just hate anything that swarms and ant hills swarm. And so I can't.
I fucking hate ants. I'm dealing with ants right now. And this is a little tip for every pet owner that has ant problems. So I moved into a new apartment recently and ants kept getting in Lulu's cat food.
Oh, of course.
And she wouldn't fucking touch it. I bought diatomaceous earth. I bought taro. I bought every ant poison there is on the market. Still ants getting into her food and she wouldn't touch her food and was protesting starvation.
Right. Of course.
And so, little trick I learned, ants don't like water. So I put her food and water bowls on dishes and filled the dish with water underneath it. The ants can't get to it anymore. Lulu can eat her
food.
That's
smart.
Not have to deal with ants.
Yay!
So if you have a pet and you're dealing with ants, try that out. It worked great for me. So
that's super smart. That's super smart. Yes.
Thank you, ChatGPT.
I love that
for helping me with that.
Right? So even though we both hate ants, I would rather see ants crawling into a mausoleum wall than what happens when there's not a seal. Or I should say when there is a seal and then this syndrome happens. Because if you take out the air and the body keeps expanding, sometimes it explodes and can crack the mausoleum wall. So the caskets go boom from the power and the expanding gases in the body, and then it starts to leak. Yep.
Not only
the walls of a mausoleum and the caskets are affected, which is, of course, where the gory part comes in. Although this is not something that has been tracked, it has happened a few times. It happened to a king in England in the 11th century. William the Conqueror was not a particularly well-liked king. So when he died in battle, no one stepped forward to claim his body and plan his funeral. Eventually, somebody did come forward and took the body that had been decomposing for some time, took it to where they were going to have the funeral. When the grave diggers attempted to force his bloated body into the sarcophagus, it didn't go well because the body ruptured and made a mess and a bad smell. And people had exploded king on them.
I need to go get a garbage can.
Yeah. I only have one other story. That's the grossest one. Granted, in this case, the coffin didn't explode. It was the body. But most people wouldn't even consider that it was, you know, that. I mean, I would not think that that could ever happen, but here we are. Another example occurred more recently in Australia back in 2013. This time, the casket was in a mausoleum. The exploded discovery was made when the contents of the crypt... What's that?
You'd think that if it wasn't exposed to oxygen, it wouldn't continue to decompose. But, like, opposite, the exact opposite happens.
Like, basically, yes, because in the absence of oxygen, then the tissues don't dehydrate, so they don't dry out. And so it just
gathers humidity and
it's just building more and more gas.
Okay. So you need to dry the body out like some jerky.
Yeah. So in 2013, the explosion was in a mausoleum. The discovery was made when contents of the crypt were found leaking down the face of the structure. So you said you don't want to see ants crawling in. Imagine seeing just a puddle oozing out the side of the cement marble wall.
I don't like this. I don't like this.
I know.
Just go ahead and skip this episode, everybody. If you're this far, just...
I told you, you had to listen to it, Declan. I'm almost done.
I'm going to take my I will say...
One last little tidbit. The one in Australia happened in the summer months.
Oh.
Yeah. So insects.
I've never smelled a dead body, but I know it doesn't smell good.
It's not going to smell good in the summertime. And it, you know, thing when things smell bad and there's stuff going on, then insects show up to find out what it is. And
yeah. I don't like this.
So we'll say the last thing you want to see when walking up to the final resting place of your loved one is a puddle of unknown origin. Yep. So I guess the moral of the story is figure out a way that you're not going to explode. This is why
I'm cremating
this is why,
you. I don't care if you want it. I'm cremating you. I'm not.
Yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. I would prefer to be cremated. Yep.
I did not like that story. What the fuck is that?
Okay. So I looked up how I found out this story or this topic was I did a Google Gemini search for bizarre types of stories. And this was one that was listed. And I said, I read it off to your dad and he goes, you have to do that. And I was like, no, that's nasty. And he goes, that's why you have to do it. So blame your dad and Google Gemini. I know.
I don't.
Sorry. Okay, God. I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to my story. I'm going to my story now.
Yep,
I don't care.
I'm done. Tell us about Johnny Lewis.
Okay. Johnny Lewis was born Jonathan Kendrick Lewis on October 29th, 1983 in Los Angeles, California. He grew up right in the heart of the entertainment industry, which makes his eventual casting in Sons of Anarchy feel like fate.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't think you've watched the show. I definitely
I have
watched
not watched it.
But it's
I've
a
heard
very
really
popular
good things about it.
TV show. Yeah. He was the middle child in a family that was deeply involved in the Church of Scientology. That's for a later episode. I feel like we could do a whole entire episode on the Church of Scientology. They're weird weird mamma jammas. So his parents were active members, and Johnny was raised within its teachings. Despite being born in L.A., he wasn't some spoiled Hollywood kid. His upbringing was creative but strict, and like many young people born in Scientology, mental health wasn't something openly discussed, especially if required outside help.
Right.
Johnny showed early signs of brilliance, not just in acting. He was athletic, articulate, and driven. He reportedly graduated from high school early and jumped straight into the entertainment industry. He was charming, good-looking, and had that rebel with a smile vibe that directors loved. In the early 2000s, Johnny started landing roles. You may have seen him in Boston Public, Malcolm in the Middle, and Drake and Josh.
Okay.
I loved Drake and Josh growing up.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him, but great show. His breakout came in The O.C., where he played Dennis Chili Childress and the stoner best friend of Johnny Harper. But his biggest break, the role that made him his face, the role that like kind of broke him into the Hollywood, was his role in the 2008 FX Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
The show was raw, dark, and violent, and it struck a nerve with viewers. Johnny was cast as Kip Halfsack Epps, a fresh-faced prospect trying to earn his way into the motorcycle club. Halfsack was loyal, naive, and occasionally comic relief, which made him a fan favorite. There was a depth to Johnny's performance. He betrayed vulnerability without weakness and brought an authenticity to the role that wasn't easily made a joke. Over two seasons, fans watched Halfsack go from lovable rookie to tragic casualty. His death in the season 2 finale shocked viewers. Sorry, spoiler alert. It's a spoiler alert for me because I haven't watched it either, but apparently
for a show that was 15 years ago.
Rumors swirled about why he had written off. What was a creative choice? Was he fired or was he asked to leave? Well, according to multiple reports, including some confirmed by showrunner Kurt Sutter, Johnny wanted out. He was struggling personally and there was a friction on set. After leaving Sons of Anarchy in 2009, Johnny's life took a turn, and not just in a stumble, a full downward spiral. He was arrested multiple times in the years that followed, charges including assault with a deadly weapon, burglary, resisting arrest, and he went out in and out of jail and rehabs and psychiatric hospitals. So, after leaving
Troubled.
The show, yeah.
Okay.
Friends and family became concerned. They said that Johnny was different. He was paranoid, anxious, and often didn't make sense in what he was saying to them. He suffered serious motorcycle accident in 2011 that left him with a serious head injury, which, as we know, can really affect
change your
someone's
personality.
Entire life. Yeah.
So was the motorcycle accident before or after his personality changed?
It was after,
okay.
I think he took a similar route, like with we see a lot of Disney, like child actors, basically, like having
child
like,
actors. Like,
it's a lot to deal with becoming that famous and rich all at once. Like,
for sure,
it can really warp your personality. And the motorcycle accident didn't fucking help at all.
Didn't help. No.
Some believe this may have caused or worsened a traumatic brain injury that he had, which can it can affect impulse control, personality, and judgment.
For sure.
What's tragic is that Johnny seemed to be reaching out for help, but he kept slipping through the cracks. In one chilling example, he was evaluated by a psychiatrist and found gravely disabled, but was released because he didn't meet California's legal criteria for forced psychiatric hold. He bounced around between mental institutions, rehabs, courtrooms, and homeless shelters, and at one point even joined a Scientology-affiliated drug program that rejected medicine. So he could have gotten serious help, but the way they ran it, it didn't help.
Oh, that's sad.
On September 26, 2012, everything came to a horrifying end. Johnny had recently moved to a guest house in Los Feliz, Los Angeles, owned by an 81-year-old woman named Catherine Davis. She was a kind woman known for renting rooms to struggling artists. Johnny wasn't doing well, but she took him in anyways. Neighbors said they heard screams that morning. Some witnessed Johnny attacking two men with a wooden plank in the driveway. When police arrived, they found a scene straight out of a horror film. Catherine Davis was found bludgeoned to death inside the home. No. This part fucking is the worst part. Her cat had
that
also
was the
been
landlady
killed. Yeah,
the landlady and her cat.
Landlady and her cat. Furniture was overturned. Glass was shattered. The entire scene was chaos. Johnny's body was found in the driveway. He had either jumped or fallen from the roof of the home, and he died from blunt force trauma.
Oh. What?
The autopsy showed no drugs or alcohol in his system. That's critical because many assumed it was just he got high on drugs and killed her, but
yeah,
it was just like a mental lapse.
Who were the guys he was hitting in the driveway?
I couldn't find much information on that. And that's kind of how the police rolled up on the scene. He was dead in the driveway.
And what?
Her and her cat were dead. It's just super, super strange story that happened. Like, going from the hit show Sons of Anarchy, like,
yeah,
I'm sure he had money. If he was, maybe they fucked him over in the contract. I mean,
could be.
That happens to a lot of Hollywood
right
actors, singers, and
or
shit
maybe
like
he's
that. But
bent it all. And if that was one of his last.
You'd still be getting residuals. Like a show like that probably makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
I guess he was only on for one or two seasons, but still.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, wow. That's really sad and confusing.
We need a chaser to fucking
yes.
Write this boat that we've sunk in today.
Well, do you have a chaser? Give us a good chaser.
I do. Let me get it pulled up real quick. So my chaser is that the Los Angeles Dodgers have re-signed outfielder Andrew Tolles, who has schizophrenia and hasn't played since 2018. They signed him to give him access to the team's health insurance and mental health services. Hasn't played since 2018 and he's not expected to play, but they keep signing him just so that he has access to these
the
mental
insurance.
Health facilities that yeah and I just thought that was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, because
that's amazing.
There's lots of instances of professional athletes suffering from that stuff, like Aaron Hernandez, like,
right,
granted he was signed when he did that stuff, but like there's an NBA player, I can't remember his name right now, that's homeless, and I just think it's cool that the Dodgers keep signing him. They're not paying him anything, but they're signing him so that he can get the benefits, which I think
that's
is really
awesome.
Cool.
That is really cool. Wow. Yeah,
and especially
like
with like NFL players and stuff, there's traumatic brain injuries that I just talked about with
right.
Like motorcycle accident. Football players get so many TBIs that it's.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't know. I just thought it was a cool story.
It is very cool. I like that. That's amazing.
What's your chaser, Mom?
My chaser is a watch recommendation for a show on Apple Plus called Your Friends and Neighbors.
Okay.
Basically, it's got John Hamm in it, and he is this day trader, I guess. I don't know. He loses his job. Spoiler. He loses his job pretty quickly. And then he starts to go down a rabbit hole and decides that being a thief is a good alternative to getting paid at the job that he got fired from. And it's a really good show. And there's a lot of cool relationships in the show, but watching him like break into his neighbors' houses and steal their watches that cost $250,000 and then selling it, and it's kind of cool.
Sounds super interesting. Yeah. Love John Hamm, so I'm gonna have to check
I know
it out.
He's a great actor. Netflix, he's no, Apple Plus.
Plus, okay.
Yeah. It's a great show. I think you'd like it.
I'm sure I would. I'm gonna have to check it out. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us today on this beautiful Wednesday or whenever you're listening to it. But love you, Mom.
Love you too, bud.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.